So two goldfish are in a tank together. And the first fish looks at the second fish and he says, "Are you sure you know how to drive this thing?" Why was the strawberry depressed? Why, you ask? Because both his mom and his dad were in a jam. Okay. So a salesman was driving home from a conference one night. He looked it up on his GPS, and it showed him the shortest route from A to B. So he decided to take it, and it took him on this long, lonely road out in the middle of nowhere. And as he was driving along, he got a flat tire. So he pulled over to the side of the road, and he digs through the trunk, and he finds his donut to put on. The problem is he doesn't have a lug wrench. So it's a real problem. So he looks around, and he sees a farmhouse off in the distance, about a mile. So he sets off on foot, thinking, you know, the farmer, they're going to have a lug wrench. He's got to have one. But would he even come to the door? And, you know, if he did, he'd probably be mad that he bothered him. Probably say, what are you doing getting me up in the middle of the night to bother me? As he thought about this, it made him really mad. He got angry. He said, "What's that selfish farmer refusing to help me?" So he starts walking. He gets frustrated and drenched, and he finally bangs on the door, and he hears, "Who is it?" from a window up above. He says, "You know good and well who it is. It's me, and you can keep your stupid lug wrench. I didn't want it anyways," and storms off. When I was asked what I'd speak about, I started thinking, quite immediately I knew that I needed to talk about words. Words, they build the world around us. We're made in the image of God, and God's word created the entire world. And the world that we walk around in is largely made up of the words that we speak and the words that others speak to us. They have power. And, you know, the words that we speak, they often become self-fulfilling prophecies. But I'm not going to talk about any of that today. There's a verse in Matthew that says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And as I pondered that verse, I realized, you know, that I can't adequately speak to the power of words until I speak to the power of thoughts. Because if our words are builders, then our thoughts are the blueprints. And it's kind of futile to try to regulate your words unless your thought life is first regulated. Do our thoughts lead to actions, just like the farmer? Actually, the salesperson. And they lead to actions and action, prolonged thoughts, dwelling on things, prolonging them. They become beliefs. So there's a verse in the Bible that says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." And this tells me that my life will go in the direction of my most prominent thoughts. That's a two-edged sword. So if the thoughts that I got in my head are good ones, that's gonna help me. If they're wrong thoughts, it's gonna create a perspective that I don't want. It's gonna color my relationships with other people. Proverbs says, "Guard your heart above all else." And I love the New Living Translation here. It says, "For it determines the course of your life." So whatever we allow to linger in our heads will drop down into our heart. So that can be good or bad. And this goes beyond salvation. I mean, somebody can be saved. They can have the assurance of heaven, absolutely going there, and at the same time have a bunch of junky thoughts in their life that's actually leading them away from what God has for them, the abundant life. And so we're fighting this on three fronts. We've got the world, flesh, and the devil. Two of those are external and one is internal. So the world, we're all a product of our culture to one extent or another. It tells us things. We can choose to believe it, choose not to believe it. And the devil, he's not to be underestimated. He's crafty, but he's also an external force. He can't control our thoughts. What he can do is he can shoot fiery little darts. I heard one person in a book, and I can't remember what book it was, but he was talking about the wiles of the enemy. And he said one of the devil's tricks is that he repeatedly hits. He'll send something, dart after dart after dart, and they're all getting the same thing. And they're disguised to look like our own thoughts. Thoughts like, man, I shouldn't have even gotten out of bed this morning. I think that a lot of mornings. But no one's going to care if I'm at work today or not, really. I mean, nothing that I do really matters. I don't really matter. And the five words that I hear oftentimes in my office when I'm speaking with clients is, I'm not good enough. See, we can shrug it off, it's not true. But once we begin to agree with those statements, something happens. The enemy gains a foothold. A belief begins to form. Our words, our actions are born out of our beliefs. So what was once an invisible suggestion from the enemy or from the world, we're now manifesting it through our life because we're beginning to walk it out because it's become a belief. See, we can't afford to allow any of these things to drag us down with lines of thinking that just don't line up with the Word of God. Bill Johnson once made a comment that really floored me. He said, I can't afford to have a thought about me in my head that God doesn't have about me in his head. Let me say that again. I can't afford to have a thought about me in my head that God doesn't have about me in his head. Let that sink in for a minute. Because our thoughts, they determine the direction that our life goes. In Ephesians, it says, Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, it says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And here's the rub. I can't wear the new man and continue in old thoughts. Transformation comes through renewing the mind. And I really like the way that the New Living Translation puts it. It says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And what does that do for us? Well, it goes on to say, then you'll be able to attest and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You know, oftentimes we want God to change the situation, but sometimes God wants to change our perspective. And he often asks us to make the first move. You know, it's really funny. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Humble yourself before me and I will lift you up. God asks us to take the first step and he often takes the next nine to meet us where we're at. But he wants us to make a start. Start. I'll meet you where you're at. And so when he tells us to fix our eyes on things that are good, to think about heavenly things, he's already given us the tools to do that. They're already there. We can change our minds. We can change what we're thinking. Some people don't think that's true. Some people think they can't help what happens. It was a movie that I haven't watched for a long time. It was back in the mid-90s called Empire Records. Anybody ever seen that? It's really good. Liv Tyler. Anyways, there's a statement that's made in it. Let me give you the backdrop real quick. So there's a manager of a record store, and he asked one of his employees to close the store for him. So he does, and while he's in there, he finds a sheet of paper, and he finds out the store is going to be sold. And he doesn't want the store to be sold. This is his job, so he hatches a plan. If he takes all the deposits of that day, which is about $9,000, and goes down to the casino, he can win enough money to save the store. A great plan, right? Yeah, he loses it all in a New York minute. So he talks to his manager, and as he tells him, you see the blood draining out of the manager's face. Finally, he He kind of stumbles to the door, and as he's going to get out, his employee says, "Joe, I really think it's going to be all right." He turns around and he says, "What makes you think that?" The employee says, "Who knows where thoughts come from? They just appear." We can't just let our thoughts wander wherever they want. It's going on autopilot. It's like just turning on the TV and watching whatever shows up, not realizing that you can change the channel. Is your life headed in the direction that you wanted to go? Is it not headed in the direction you wanted to go? Change the channel. Sometimes we feel like we're stuck, like there's something holding us back. The things that we want to do or the person that we want to be. Chances are that there's a blockage in our minds. It's being fortified by our words and reinforced again by our actions. So how do we change? How do we move forward? Well, I'm going to give you three things. See, I'm a real speaker here because I did some alliteration. Input, interception, intentionality. Say it again. Input, interception, intentionality. So input. Well, we all know the garbage in, garbage out. I'm not going to talk about that very much. What I'm going to talk about is what we choose to put in. Truth counteracts untruth. So we need to fill our mind with as much truth as we can get in there. And where do we find that? Well, we find it in the word truth. The word of God is truth. In fact, Timothy says it's God-breathed. It's useful in all sorts of situations. In Joshua, it says, don't let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, being sure to do everything that's in it. It says to ruminate on it. And remember, what we allow to linger on our minds will eventually drop down into our hearts. So if we're ruminating on truth, that's what's going to get down into our heart. That's what's going to form our beliefs. Psalm says, I'll hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have this mentor that I haven't met with for a while, but great guy, pretty old. I think he's hitting 90. He told me one time about life verses. He says, find a life verse, something that really speaks to you, and begin to speak it out. Maybe not in a crowded room, but when you're at home, speak it out. And he says, when your ears hear your mouth speak God's word, something happens in your spirit. He said, just keep on putting it out there. Listen to yourself speaking God's word. Speak it out of your mouth. Have it come back into your ears. Have it get in your head. Drop down into your spirit. So what's a second way that we get truth? Well, Jesus is truth, right? We worship him in spirit and truth. So worship is a great way to get truth into your life. And the greatest thing is it gets the eyes off ourselves. Well, it feeds the soul. And then there's prayer, but especially praying in the Spirit. You know, Scripture says that when one prays in the Spirit, he edifies or he builds himself up. The Spirit prays, but the mind is unfruitful. You ever wanted to shut your mind off? Tell it to shut up? Here's one of the keys. Begin to pray in your spirit. Your spirit prays to God, your mind is unfruitful. And then when you re-engage your mind, you've been renewed. So that's input. Second one, interception. We all know this. We've been at the football games or watching the football games, and the other team is driving. They throw a long bomb, and they're going to make it. They're going to run to the touchdown, and all of a sudden somebody runs up, grabs it, and the power shifts, and now we're going the opposite direction. Now we're on offense. We're not on defense anymore. Actually, I looked up the meaning of it in the dictionary, and it says the act of preventing something from continuing to a destination. So what's that mean with our thoughts? Ironically, we get to freedom through captivity. In 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, it says, the weapons that we use, they're not like the weapons of this world. They're mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. And this is the Tony Amplified version from all the different versions that I've read. So I demolish strongholds, arguments, fantasies, vain imaginations, pretenses and every lofty thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And I take captive every thought and I make it obedient to Christ Jesus. In the non-spiritual community, they call this thought stopping. And it's basically the same principle. It's just not as effective when you take God out of it. See, we are the only creatures on earth who can actually step back and think about what we're thinking about. We are made to do that. So when God says, fix your mind on this, think about heavenly things, he's already given us the tools to do it. We have the ability to do that, to observe our own thought processes. And if we can observe it, then we can change it. We find release from toxic thinking when we break the patterns. The familiar neural networks in our mind, we all have the rabbit holes that we know that we go down. We can usually tell when they're beginning, and a lot of times we know where they end. And those footholds that we talked about, they can become strongholds over time as that belief gets reinforced and reinforced. And it can become our own personal prison. Our thoughts can actually keep us from going in the direction that we want to go. I was out camping one day, and for those of you who have done that, I'm sorry. My idea of camping is a Holiday Inn, really, especially if it's got a hot tub. But I go because my wife likes to go. And one day I took my Bible and I went down by the river and I was sitting there praying. And I asked the Lord, I'm like, what is my ministry going to be? And he said, Isaiah 61. And I said, well, what's that? So I looked it up. And it says, a very familiar verse. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison doors to those who are bound. I said, wait a minute, Jesus, I've heard this one before. This is what you said about yourself in the New Testament. And he said, yeah, and have you read the Great Commission? I commissioned you to carry on my work. So I shut up. But as I looked over the passage, I realized that we're all given this commission to do, to carry on Jesus' work, and we all have our specific parts that we play. And as I was looking through it, I looked at it, and I was like, okay, so if they proclaim freedom to the captives, then what's this about bringing people out of dungeons? People who are bound, if you're free, you're free, right? Not necessarily, because our thoughts can keep us bound. The things that we're thinking, the things that go through our mind over and over and over can keep us from actually moving forward in the direction that we want to go. And I'm sure we're all at this at some point, but my job, many of your jobs, is to go into the dungeons, get the people that are free, that are saved, and begin to help them find the way out, the way to freedom. Like I stated earlier, somebody can be saved, they can be born again, they're under God's grace, but the junky thoughts keep them from living the life that they want to live. They're imprisoned by the lies that they agree with. The strongholds that are in their mind keep them stuck right where they are. See, the chains are loosed when truth is inserted to rebuff the lie. And thoughts are intercepted and made obedient to Christ. The weapons he's given us, they're mighty for pulling down strongholds. So input truth. Number two, intentionality. Sorry, number three, that was interception. Intentionality. Romans 12:2, we've heard it. Don't be conformed to the ways of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Again, I like the way the New Living Translation puts it. It says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. We have to be intentional. We have to be thinking about what we're thinking about. And that doesn't always have to be spiritual in nature. A lot of times it is. It's a good place to start. Sometimes if you're going down a rabbit hole that's familiar, you just got to change back to something, you know, that's that follows Philippians 4:8, which is whatever's noble, whatever's true, whatever's pure, whatever's right, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, anything that's excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. And that can be different things to different people. And it's not always about thinking positively. It was Norman Vincent Peale put out his Power of Positive Thinking a long time ago, and it caught on, and it was a big thing. I mean, it's been there in the Bible the whole time. But it's more than that. Being intentional about your thinking sometimes means dealing with the yucky stuff. Is there trauma in your past? Has someone spoken horrible things to you? Maybe when you were young, they planted, they took root. Trauma can also be something that didn't happen. Neglect. And, you know, if you came to my office for counseling, that's where we're going to go. We're going to talk about that stuff. And a friend of mine gave me a really horrible word picture, and I was going to water it down for you, but I'm actually just going to use the whole thing. She said, sometimes saying the hard stuff, the scary stuff, is like pushing the pus out of a womb so that it can heal. Cleaning it out. So, intentionality. My wife's friend, we were talking one time about nutrition, and she's like, the 80-20 principle. And her idea was, you know, if you eat healthy 80% of the time and 20% of the time you don't, you're still going to be fairly healthy. And I realized that in a little bit different way that we can apply this, because if we spend, we'll probably have to change the percentages, spend 5 or 10% of your time dealing with the yucky stuff, and the other 90% of the time, when you start going down those rabbit holes, you change your thinking. And this is important stuff. I remember my wife and I, we built a little cabinet area where we used to live, little kitchenette area. One time we had gotten some groceries, and I got a 10-pound bag of potatoes, and I found a drawer, and I stuck it in that drawer and closed it and forgot it was there. I opened it up 5 months later. Not only was there things growing out of the potatoes, but there was this brown, gross sludge that was all over the place. It was dripping out the backs underneath the counters. You know, a lot of times we don't want to actually deal with the things in our life, so we stick them in a compartment, and we file them away, and we never deal with them again. But they don't go away. They get all brown. They begin to leak. They leak out into other parts of our life. So intentionality is intentionally going in there and dealing with that stuff, cleaning it up, pushing that yucky stuff out, letting God come in to heal. But then there's thought management. It means that we've got to manage what we're thinking about. So, whatever's noble and true and pure and right, lovely and admirable, excellent and praiseworthy, that can mean different things for different people. So what is it for you? And again, we have to be intentional. We have to plan ahead. It's really hard to change your thought in the middle, especially if you're angry. And you're going down those rabbit holes, and you're, wait a minute, what's something that's good? What's something that's excellent? What's something that's praiseworthy? Well, let's think about that ahead of time. Make up a list. What kind of things are good? What kind of things can I think about when I get into those spots, when I'm going down that rabbit hole? Where do I go to instead? Make a list of it. It's different for different people. And then give it to the Lord. Now, I heard you can't just stop a bad habit. It's not as easy as being, I'm just not going to do that anymore. You have to replace it with a good habit, something that you're going to, and that's exactly what we're doing here. So what combats untruth? Truth, right? Feelings are always valid. They're always valid, but they're born out of beliefs, and our beliefs may not be valid. So what I propose is using but statements. That's one T. I understand the way that I'm feeling, but the truth is, whatever the truth is. new line of thinking, and I shift to a new line of thinking. Science reveals that once we think a thought once, it gets much easier to think again. You know, we got these brand new baby brain cells every morning. They used to think that you were born with a certain amount of brain cells and you never got any more, so we would go around and hit ourselves in the head. I just lost 100 brain cells, and so are you. We'd chase each other around. But we got new brain cells that are formed every single morning. And it really gives a new twist to the expression of the Word of God that says His mercies are new every morning. Because if toxic thinking can be wired in, it can be wired out. So we all have the familiar pathways that we go down. But we can nip it in the bud. We can stop it at the first sign. We can combat it with truth. Start a new process. It gets easier every time. Let me be here, real transparent here, and I'll give you an example from my own life. You know, I've moved into the mental health field, becoming a counselor, and sometimes I meet with people, and I just don't see any sort of movement. Or maybe I really flub it up at one time. And I might start thinking, oh, I don't know if this is the right profession for me. I might not be a very good counselor. Well, I realize that I feel that, but God has called me to this. And God doesn't call us to something that we can't do. He calls us to stuff that we can't do on our own because we need Him. But He has already given us what we need, which means that He's already given me what I need to be a good counselor. So that's my but statement. But God is good. And then I switch my thinking. So what's something good that I'm thinking? Well, maybe a thank you. Thanks is always a great way to get my mind off myself. You know, Lord, I thank you that you have opened these doors, that you sent me back to school, that you continue to move me towards my ultimate goal. Thank you. So we use our but statements, and then we look at what we've already planned out to speak. And I'm sure we're all somewhere in this process. And the process continues our entire life. In fact, we won't ever know fully until after we pass through this life into the next one. But we're all at some point in this process. Input. Interception. Intentionality. This is going to lead us to the life that we want to have. It's going to lead us to the words that come out of our mouth that are going to be helpful to other people. So I'm going to ask you, do you feel like you become stuck in some area of your life? Do you keep trying to put on the new self, but you keep getting pulled back into old thought patterns, anxiety, depression, addictions? Or maybe you just know that you can do better. And love the Lord with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. Sometimes that we forget that that's in there. I believe 2020 is going to be a breakout year for so many of us. So I'd like to pray, and you know, committing an inner thought life to the Lord, it's a personal decision. But I just want to give opportunity for people to come up and stand in the front who are going to say, you know what, I'm going to do better. I want to commit my thought life to the Lord. I want to move in a new direction. So if that's you, just go ahead and come up front here, and we're just all going to pray together. So Lord, today we're making a public statement. We're going to honor you, God, with our thought lives. We're no longer going to be held captive by our thoughts, but we're going to hold our thoughts captive. We want to live in the abundant life that you have for all your children. We want to help others to do the same. We ask you to give us strength and wisdom, God, as we move forward. Show us where we have faulty thinking. Give us insight where we believed a lie, and let us feed on your truth. May we know the truth, for the truth sets us free, Lord. And we just pray as Paul prayed. We know that the weapons that you've given us, Lord, they're not carnal weapons. They're mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. And we do demolish those strongholds and footholds, vain imaginations, fantasies, arguments, pretenses, every lofty thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take those thoughts captive, and we make them obedient to you, Jesus. And then we fix our mind on things that are noble and true, things that are pure and right, things that are lovely and admirable, excellent or praiseworthy. These are the things we will think upon. And we ask, as David did, Lord, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Thank you, Jesus. We decree that this year that we're in, it's going to be a great year. We're going to move forward in you.